Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. Thanks for being with us. On Tuesday, Ukrainian President Zelensky addressed the UN Security Council and detailed the horrific scenes that Ukrainian officials say they discovered after regaining control of the city of Bucha.
I am addressing you on behalf of the people who honor the memory of the deceased every single day in the memory of the civilians who died, who were shot and killed in the back of their head after being tortured. Some of them were shot on the streets, others were thrown into the wells, so they died there in suffering. They were killed in their apartments, houses, blowing up grenades. The civilians were crushed by tanks while sitting in their cars in the middle of the road.
Now, Russian officials have denied responsibility for the death of these civilians, saying that bodies were placed on the roads after Russian troops withdrew from Bucha. But satellite images analyzed by the New York Times and the BBC confirmed that at least 11 of the bodies discovered by Ukrainian officials were first visible there during Russia's occupation of the city. During his remarks to the UN, Zelensky also alleged that Russian soldiers had killed entire families in Bucha and raped women in front of their children.
So where is the security that the Security Council needs to guarantee? It's not there, although there is a Security Council. Where is the peace?
According to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, more than 4 million people have fled Ukraine for neighboring countries since the start of Russia's violent invasion of Ukraine. War and war-related displacement is traumatic. And among refugees, the situation for LGBTQ Ukrainians is especially precarious. The Takeaway spoke with one refugee.
My name is Edward Rees. I work as a project assistant for Kyiv Pride. I identify as queer or non-binary. I was living in Kyiv.
Edward, who uses the pronouns he, him, remembers the morning in February when he woke and learned that Russia had invaded his country.
I was at home in a quiet and peaceful region, like outskirts of Kyiv. And I actually missed the first sirens and the first bombings because I was sleeping. And I woke up to check my messages, and I saw a great amount of messages asking if I am okay, if I am alive, and messages telling that the war started.
Initially, Edward planned to stay in Kyiv as long as possible so that he could continue his work as a project assistant for Kyiv Pride, an LGBTQ NGO. But ultimately, he felt he just had to leave.
I decided to leave because I had to do my top surgery in Ukraine in March, and definitely now it's impossible. So I decided to try to do it in any other country to save resources of Ukrainian hospitals after the war. And the second thing why I left is actually that I was working online. I wasn't able to go out of my home anywhere, and I was just eating food which can be useful for the army or for territorial defense.
Like millions of other Ukrainians fleeing for safety, Edward headed for the Polish border.
I got help from Kyiv Pride and other organizations, which got several seats on the bus, which was coming from Kyiv to Lviv. Then we spent several hours in a refugee center in Poland, which was really crowded and loud and hard to be there.
Now, Poland has a history of discrimination against LGBT communities. According to the BBC, towns that constitute, quote, nearly one-third of the country have passed resolutions declaring themselves to be free of LGBTQ ideology, unquote. And in a ranking compiled by the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association of Europe, looking at the status of LGBTQ rights in the EU, Poland ranked last with a designation of gross violations of human rights and discrimination. Thankfully, that was not what Edward's experience in the Polish capital of Warsaw was like.
Polish people are doing an amazing job right now, and they are really great at helping us. We are refugees, and I don't think that someone would be cruel to refugees because of their sexual identity or gender identity. I don't know any stories like this, and people are really welcomed in Poland.
Edward eventually drove up to Copenhagen, Denmark, where he's currently staying. Denmark has a much better record on LGBTQ rights than Poland, but still, things are not easy.
We have our chosen families, our friends, our community, and sometimes we have to leave them. Like, I am disconnected with all of my friends. They are all in different countries. Some of them are staying in Ukraine, and we just talk online sometimes. And Kyiv Pride actually decided to start daily psychology support groups to help people reconnect, to help people remember that we are still together, we are still one big family of Ukrainian queers.
As for what's next for Edward, he hopes to someday soon return to Ukraine, hopefully after recovering from his gender-affirming surgery.
I want to help rebuilding the cities. I want to continue working for Kyiv Pride. But I'm going to do my top surgery here because I understand that Ukraine won't be providing this kind of operations after the war. And I need this operation deeply for my health, for my mental health. So I will be getting it here. And when I recover, I hope the war will end till that time. I will definitely go back.
Our thanks to Edward Reese for sharing his story with us. I'm joined now by Olena Shevchenko, head of Insight Ukraine, an LGBTQ plus advocacy group based in Ukraine. Welcome to The Takeaway, Olena.
Thank you.
And also with us is Mirka Makuchowska, who is deputy CEO of the Campaign Against Homophobia, a Polish gay rights organization. Mirka, it's also great to have you here.
Thank you for having me here.
Olena, I want to begin with you. You fled Kyiv last month. Can you tell me where you are now and a little bit about your experience?
Basically, our organization, Insight Public Organization, which is LGBTQI advocacy and community-based organization, were established in Kyiv. And we also covered 11 other regions in Ukraine before the war. So basically, then the war started, I thought that it will be pretty possible for me to stay in Kyiv and to keep working as we worked before, but that was not the real situation. So that's why after 14 days spending in Kyiv, partially in the basement, I took a decision to relocate ourselves, like not only me, but also the part of our organization based in Kyiv, to western region of Ukraine. So now I'm based in Lviv, where we have one of our shelters for LGBTQI people. So we have one in Lviv and another one in Chernivtsi. So since 11th of March, we are working here, trying to do everything possible to support LGBTQI people with relocation, safe house, food, medicines, other things which is connected to their psychological support. So we also have hotline, which is 24/7 working for LGBTQI people. And also we provide legal support, especially then LGBTQI people are trying to cross the border. So we are bringing them to the border and give them to our partners. For instance, like in Poland, in Romania, in Czech Republic, Slovakia, and other countries as well.
America, I want to bring you in here because, you know, as Olena is talking about this partnership, talk to me about the work that you and your organization have been doing to help LGBTQ refugees who are fleeing into Poland.
So from the very beginning, when the war started, my organization and a number of other LGBT organizations in Poland are doing their best to help the refugees. And since we're working with LGBT community, we're focusing on this specific group. So there are a number of issues and problems that refugees have when they come to Poland. About 2-3 million people from Ukraine entered in Poland, right? And we're talking about 38 million country population. So it's a huge number of people, and it was an extreme effort from the organizations, humanitarian and others, to help those people, in most cases coming with nothing more than a suitcase or a bag. When it comes to LGBT folks, there are specific issues that they face. But first thing is very important, and something that needs to be taken care of is for transgender community, intersex persons, so that they can continue, if they have medical prescriptions for drugs, they need to continue that, right? So hopefully there is a possibility of having these drugs from national healthcare system. But again, Poland is not the most friendly country for our community. So it's the same for the LGBT refugees here. So there's a number of problems that they face when they go to the doctor. There is a language barrier, of course, for a lot of folks. And there is a lot of problems with people, doctors who do not know enough about specific needs of our community. So we try to help assist that. And another very basic need is housing. Something we did and a lot of other Polish organizations did as well is to set up a matchmaking process where LGBT refugees can come to us and say they need housing. And then we matchmake them with individuals who say they can share their apartment or room with someone. So we help with that as well.
Prior to the Russian invasion, just give me a sense of what the state of LGBTQ rights in Ukraine was prior to the invasion.
Let's be straightforward. So, of course, the situation for LGBTQI people in Ukraine before the war was not the same as in Russia, surely. So basically, after Euromaidan, which we had 8 years ago, we achieved a lot, especially in terms of the transgender people, for instance, because what we did, our organization, with the Ministry of Health, we completely changed the procedure of gender reassignment. So now for trans people, it is possible only based on the diagnosis to change their documents without sterilization. So basically, it was a huge achievement for Ukraine. Another issue is also that it's possible in Ukraine to go to the streets and protest. This is a basic right. And for LGBTQI people, in terms of the visibility of fighting for their equal rights, that was a huge achievement. And of course, we don't have like equal marriages. We don't have any partnerships. And this is a problem. But honestly, we had a lot of those like communications and established partnership with different governmental structure. And we work on that together with the hate crimes law, which is also not in place. But I thought that it will be our achievement in the nearest few years. But now, of course, it is a huge issue with the war. And I expect that it will be much harder now to come back to those issues after the war. And of course, all of us, I mean, Ukrainians, we expect that it will be soon, like after the war. But honestly, taking into account that so many people, I mean, from LGBTQI communities already left Ukraine, it doesn't mean that they all want to stay in other countries, especially in Poland, because it's not so bad in Ukraine, honestly. So I think in terms of the situation, it's still much better. We are not Russia.
Mirka, I want to talk about Poland a bit now. Can you give me similarly a sense of what the overall landscape looks like? You've said that particularly transgender individuals might face a hard time getting the gender-affirming medical care that they need.
Yes, exactly. And especially for LGBT refugees. But when you look at a broader landscape for the community, the legal situation is as if the community didn't exist because we don't have marriage equality. We don't have any other form like civil partnership for same-sex couples. We don't have hate crime legislation. The anti-discrimination protection in the law is non-existent for our community. So basically, and there is no bill that would regulate and gender reassignment. So when it comes to legal aspects, it's not a very good place to live. So I totally understand LGBT refugees from Ukraine. They don't want to stay here. A lot of them, if they have the possibility, go further west. The social climate, I would say, is not that good as well. We've had very rough 4 years. There was a huge backlash on our community coming from the government and the Catholic Church. Our president saying that LGBT are not people, they are ideology. And we've had a lot of this rhetoric going around in public media. So as you can imagine, the levels of violence and discrimination has gone up. So I think when it comes to safety for the refugees from Ukraine, it's also very important not to go into a housing that you might expect any further violence, right? And if you go to a statistically normal, so to speak, Polish family, you cannot be very sure whether they're going to be okay with you being a member of our community.
Is Warsaw any different than other parts of the country in terms of being welcoming? It's often true in, you know, here in the U.S. that major cities will have somewhat different climate around LGBTQ issues.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a universal thing that in bigger cities, it's easier to form a community, to have safe spaces, clubs, organizations, and so on. Most of young people, young, I mean, like turning 17, 18, when they become adults legally, they leave smaller towns and cities and villages and go somewhere when they feel they could start the new life, the real life, right? Because they can be out of the closet, more or less, or to a bigger extent they've been in the places where they were born. So it's definitely the same. I come from Wrocław. It's also a city. It's definitely smaller than Warsaw. Now I live in Warsaw and I feel the difference. But when it comes to feeling safe, me and my wife, we got married in Denmark because there are no laws here. So we don't feel safe enough to hold hands in public spaces. So you don't see that very often in Poland, even Warsaw.
Elena, I want to come back to you for a moment. You were telling us that there'd been some public policy breakthroughs in Ukraine prior to this invasion that allowed transgender individuals to transition in their documentation without having to have reassignment surgery. And yet we've also been hearing some reports of the difficulties transgender women in particular have had in trying to flee to neighboring countries because their passports have not been changed to reflect their gender identity. And so I'm wondering if this is something that you've heard about firsthand.
We not just heard about an issue, we also deal with this issue, trying to support and help, like case by case, for those who have this issue of leaving Ukraine. But in general, this is a basic law for general society. So it says, like, during the wartime, all those people who have male gender marker in documents, they are not allowed to leave Ukraine because they are those who will be mobilized, you know, in different waves during the war time. So it applies to all citizens who have male gender marker, aged 18 till 60. And of course, there are many exclusions from that law. So the problem with crossing the border for trans people applies only to those who didn't change their documents, legal documents. So for instance, yes, trans women who never completed the procedures. So basically, they still have this ID document with male gender marker. So those people on the border see them as men, so they are not allowed to cross the border. We are trying to work case by case, trying to provide all necessary documents like this diagnosis F64, which is partially allowing them to not to go to military service. This is a complicated question now, and I think that it also applies to other different countries with the same mobilization law, which obliged all men to go to the military services during the war.
You said earlier in the conversation, just sort of almost offhandedly, that the people of Ukraine believe that you will be in the time of after this war fairly soon. Can you say more about that?
Honestly, I don't know. You know, the first hope, of course, for me personally, and I know many people also share this hope, that the war will end soon. So all these months, even more, it sounds like one endless day for us. We just, you know, reacting on all those which happens around us, trying to support people almost 24/7, working on the requests. And it's still a lack of time to think what will be afterwards, because now I already understand that, of course, even if those military war will finish somehow soon, it will be a huge long period of time of, I don't know, everything, like many houses destroyed, many people are killed, Many people who want to come back, they just don't have a place to come back.
Olena Shevchenko is the head of Insight Ukraine. Mirka Makuchowska is the deputy CEO of the Campaign Against Homophobia, a Polish gay rights organization. Thank you both so much, and please stay as safe as you can.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.